we thank you today again for the time we could be in this place to worship you. Thank you for the peace that we're able to find as we lift up our voices together and praise to you. Father, help us to understand, teach us what it means to count it as significant every moment that we have to be assembled in your name. Father, we thank you that we are able to worship you on our own, whether we're at home by ourselves, on our way to work, wherever we are by ourselves, we can worship you, but there's something greater even in the assembly of your children together. Father, teach us the significance of that. As we hear your word today, we pray that with one heart and one mind, we would seek you without any distractions, that you would be honored by what we offer you here in this moment. Father, our desire is to be more like you. Pray that you would change us by your spirit today. It is your name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. You can turn to Genesis 1. Genesis 1. Genesis 1. So as I said, we are going to talk today and next week about some issues regarding human sexuality and some of the things that are currently going on in our culture in the month of June. I think it is necessary for us when a culture does something called Pride Month. Sometimes it's easy for people to start to wonder if they are wrong in their position on a matter when they are constantly hammered with an opposing viewpoint. So it is necessary for us to address some of these issues and remind ourselves why we, meaning generally the Christian church for thousands of years, has held the position that they do on these matters of human sexuality, marriage, and homosexuality and some of those kind of things. So that's why we're going to talk about that. I did not intend originally to talk about this for 2 weeks, but initially my purpose was I was going to talk from Revelation chapter 2. There's kind of a rebuke against false teaching regarding this matter, false teachers that lead others into sexual sin, and that was what I intended to talk about. But when I was studying that and I had about 10 pages of notes, I realized that half my time was going to be spent reviewing something that we've already done before anyway. So admittedly, today we're reviewing something that we have already talked about, but it is necessary to talk about this in order to get where I want to go next week. So that's why we're doing that here today. Genesis chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 26. It says, then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heaven and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with its seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth and to every bird of the heavens and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every plant, every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Now, there are a few things that we find here. Three truths that we find here in Genesis 1, here in these few verses. Three truths that we find here that help us to understand what it means to be human and where we find real objective purpose. Now, these are things that every human searches for. Whether they articulate it in that way or not, whether they ask those questions in those wording that I'm searching for purpose, whether I'm searching for identity, every human in some way is searching for those things to understand what it means to be human. It's been said that there are four questions that every human being asks in some way. How did we get here? Why are we here? How do we live here? And where are we going? That ultimately boils down to, what does it mean to be human? What does it mean to be a human? And this is one of the truths that we find here, is what it means to be human. We also find then that as a human, we can find where real objective purpose lies, not just subjective purpose, not just a purpose that I decide and you decide and this person decides on their own, but what does it mean to be human, and then what is the purpose of humanity, meaning an objective purpose, the collective body of humanity through all history, what is the purpose, what is our purpose? You see, there is a real objective purpose, and we can find that here in what God says to us in Genesis chapter 1. The first thing that we find here is that mankind is created with value. Man is created with value. The first thing we find in verse 26, it says this, let us make man in our image after our likeness. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. So the first thing that we find here is that man is a created being. Man didn't simply happen by chance, or man is not a cosmic accident in this random universe, but man is a created being. And in that, then, value is built into each human. There is no human that doesn't have value. Not one. There's not one person that has ever walked the face of this earth or ever will that does not have value. Not because you decide they have value, not because I decide they have value, but because the value is built into them by their Creator. You see, that God, the Creator of all things, that the Word of God says that all things are held together by His being, that He would knit together, and the Word of God says, in their mother's womb, that He would knit together human beings, which is such an intricate thing in so much detail that goes into that, that God would do that, and the Word of God says that He breathed His own life into you, means that you and every other person on the face of the earth was created with value. And what that also means is that no human being can decide to remove the value of someone else. Every person has the same value, and always has and always will. Now, people will do things here on this earth and face consequences for their actions, but as a human being, they have no less value than any other human. You see, value is built in. It says, let us make man in our image after our likeness. We find nothing else in creation that bears the image of God. Only you and I bear the image of God. Everything else God created and said it is good, but only in you and I, only in humans, did God say, let us make man in our image. This means the image of God in us means that we are spirit. We are not simply body, we are spirit. We are conscious beings. We have freedom of will. We have the ability to use reason and logic. We have the ability to relate to God spiritually. We have the capacity to reflect the character and personality of God. There's nothing else, again, in all of creation that can reflect the character and personality of God. All other things speak to the glory and the power of God, the power of this Creator who could sustain all of these things, again, by His power. They speak to the glory of God, but you and I in the earth were created to reflect the nature and the character of God. You see, this is what it was to be in the beginning. This is what we find here in Genesis 1. Again, let us make man in our image, meaning that we would be a reflection of our Creator here in this earth. So we were created with value. This is what it means to be human, is that every human has value. We are also created for purpose. Genesis 1:26 again says, then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. This is such a significant point that God brings out here for us to understand what it means to be human. We were created, he said, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and all things, over all the earth, let them have dominion. You see, you and I were created for purpose. We were not created to be passive beings that just kind of float by here in this earth and let time pass us by, but we were created to have dominion, or some versions say to subdue, or I think later when God told Adam and Eve maybe to procreate, he said to subdue the earth. I can't remember exactly off the top of my head. It might be a different version that says to subdue it. Either way, the point is that you and I were created to be set over God's good creation. Every human to be set over God's good creation. Imagine that. All of the things that God has created, the universe that we can't even begin to understand, even the earth that we can't begin to understand, the fullness of what God has done in that creation. But God said that he would set us in dominion over that. Now, all of the things then that we find in this earth, destruction, chaos, all of those kind of things, is because mankind has perverted that authority or has taken that authority and used it for himself as opposed to what God has done in the first place. You see, God has created us to be under him over his good creation, meaning to rule it by his purposes and his principles. We were created for purpose. Well, let's not do that. I have a lot to get through, so I'm going to... You might have to ask me to slow down at some point. We were created with value and purpose. This is what it means to be human. We were created with value and purpose. Those things are built in, and no one can remove those things from us. We were also created specifically. There are specific classifications within humankind and specific relations that we were created for. Humanity finds objective meaning and purpose only as we live under specific parameters God has set in place when he created humanity. Genesis 1:27 says this, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them." Male and female he created them. You see, when God created humanity, he created us, each of us, again, to bear his image and to have the capacity to reflect his character. But God has made humanity specifically, meaning that there are some clear lines defining what humans are. One of those defining lines or markers is that God created humanity male and female. And like everything else in creation, humankind wants to take what God has made in its goodness and to make profane what God has created as sacred. So all of those lines where God has said, this is what defines this thing, humanity begins to blur those lines, and that's where we find chaos and suffering and pain and all of the things that we find here in this earth. This is what we find here when the Word of God says that he created them specifically, male and female. Then we find a culture who begins to say, I don't think that God really meant that. Or I want to make those decisions for myself. Look through the Word of God. Every single time there was some suffering that was introduced to the world or some sort of sinful shame that was introduced to the world, it was when humanity saw a principle of God and they said, no, I think I'm going to do it a different way. I think I want to define it myself. And you see, that's what we find in a month called Pride Month. Where humanity wants to take what God has created specifically and so say, no, I think I want to define that myself. There's a website called sexualdiversity.org that says that there are 107 genders. As I did some research on this topic, I found claims of anywhere between 60 and 107 gender identities, and I would assume that you could probably find more. At this point, we also find a Medical News Today article says this, a person's gender is how they identify internally and how they express this externally. People may use clothing, appearances, and behavior to express the gender that they identify with. The World Health Organization says that gender is a social construction. You see, this is not an uncommon thing that you find in our culture in this day. Even these prominent organizations that so many people put their trust in have taken this defining thing that God has spoken, or this defining characteristic of creation, that he has created male and female in his image, and they have said, no, I think we're going to define that ourselves. I don't like what God has said about that. I think we're going to define that ourselves. Now, why is this a fundamental thing? Why is this important as a foundational doctrine of the church, this idea of what it means to be human? Why is this so important for us to understand from Genesis, this beginning account of what God has created, that he has said that he would create us in his image, breathe his own life into us, that he would create us for purpose, that he would create us male and female? This is so foundationally important for the church to understand. The Word of God tells us that we ought to take on the full armor of God so that we may stand against the schemes of Satan. One of his tactics is to distort truth. The Word of God tells us that Satan is the father of lies and that he has been lying from the beginning. Genesis 3:1 says, this is the account where later on, after creation, we find that Adam and Eve were told, of all the things that you can have, you can be in dominion over all of these things, but here is this one thing that I want you to not do. Do not eat from this tree. You can have all of the other ones. Just don't take this one. We find this is when Satan was tempting them. Genesis 3:1. Satan said to Eve, did God really say you must not eat from the tree of the garden? Did God really say that? We find that in verse 4, after Eve had said that God said that they would die if they ate from that tree. Verse 4 says, Satan says, you will not certainly die. For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. You see, Satan's tactic is first to say to every human, did God really say that? The thing that that you see in his word, did God really mean that? And then when you say yes, he says, well, you know, God's really just lying to you. He's just trying to hold you back from living up to your full potential. He's just trying to keep you from being happy. The tactic is the same today. This is what it has always been. From day one, this was the attack of the enemy. Did God really say that? And if the answer is yes, well then, God is only saying that to you to keep you down. To keep you from laying hold of something good. You see, the push within our culture to reject the existence of male and female and to blur those lines is a direct attack on truth. It is nothing less. It is a blatant rejection of truth that has been established by God, and in turn then, man's attempts to lay claim to a kingship that belongs only to God. You see, the moment that any human being says, I don't care what God has said, or that's not what God really meant, he has risen himself, or he has elevated himself to the place of kingship in his own life that belongs only to God. He has dethroned God in his heart, and he has set himself on that throne as the one who calls the shots. And look around our world, you will see the result of that everywhere. You see the result of mankind elevating himself to the place where he ignores the principles of God and decides for himself what is right and what is wrong. Ephesians 6 tells us that we ought to take on the full armor of God so that we may stand against the schemes of Satan. And it goes on to tell us that one of the pieces of the armor is the belt of truth. This is an amazing thing. In Ephesians 6, we find this armor that God has given to his people to be able to walk through this earth and to be able to withstand the attacks of the enemy. And it says that one of those pieces of armor is the belt of truth. Now, if you study that, you will find that the belt was probably what held all of the armor together. So what held the armor together, all of the pieces of armor, was held together by truth. You see, God has given us his truth as provision for life, that we would understand what it means to be human. All of those four questions that we listed before, how did we get here? The Word of God tells us that. Why are we here? The Word of God tells us that. How do we live here? The Word of God tells us that. And where are we going? What's the ultimate end of humanity? The Word of God tells us that. You see, the Word of God, God has given you in His Word, in His truth, He has given you provision for life. To nourish your spirit, to help you understand your way, and to help you understand how we ought to live here in this earth. Now, we find questions all the time that comes up. Should we not just allow people to do what feels best to them? Shouldn't we support people when they feel something is best for them? You will find nothing but destruction that follows in the spirit of the person who chooses to live based on lies rather than truth. There's nothing loving about knowingly and passively sitting by while someone establishes their lives on lies that will inevitably end in ruin. There's nothing loving about that. There is nothing loving about you celebrating and affirming something in someone's life that ultimately will lead to their destruction. Now, that doesn't mean that you ought to treat somebody disrespectfully. It doesn't mean that you ought to treat somebody poorly that struggles with those kind of temptations. You ought to treat them with the value that God has built into them. When you have the opportunity to speak to somebody on those subjects, you ought to do it respectfully. But you see, we also have to do that based on truth, because it is not loving to affirm something in somebody's life that is not true. So God created specifically or clearly in that humankind is either male or female. We also find that the Word of God says that we were created male and female, were created for one another. Genesis 2, starting verse 20, it says, "But for Adam there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, he took one of his ribs and closed up the place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. The man said, 'This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man.'" Verse 24, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." You see, again, Satan's purpose in the earth. What his purpose is in the earth is to make profane that which God has created as sacred. The marital union has been ordained by God as sacred. It is sacred because two distinct persons are coming together, not just trying to figure out how to function together in life, not just figuring out how to get through life without killing each other, but they would become one. Two distinct persons would come together in God to become one flesh. Verse 24 again. "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother, to hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." You see, marriage is clearly defined that mankind, man and woman, were created for one another, one man and one woman for life. Marriage, among other things, we find this truth is so significant because marriage is a picture of unity that we find in God. Marriage is a reflection of the unity that we find in God. We find this in Matthew chapter 19, talking about the unity or oneness in marriage. Verse 4 says, "Haven't you read?" He replied, "that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female and said, 'For this reason a man will leave his father and his mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh.' So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." You see, again, two distinct individual people that have become one flesh. They are no longer two, but one. Now, this is a reflection, then, of who God is. We find in God that we have God the Father, God the Spirit, and God the Son. They are three distinct persons, but one in being. Marriage is a direct reflection of this relationship. Father, Son, Holy Spirit are three distinct persons, but they are one in God. They are one God. They are one. In the same way, you and your spouse have come together as two distinct persons, but in God, you are not separate just trying to figure out how to function together, but you are one. You are now one being in God's eyes. Now, I understand that our culture would tell you that if you don't feel something for somebody anymore, just go find what makes you happy. But you see, that's so repulsive to God because it is a reflection of his nature. When he looks on two human beings that are distinct persons but brings them together and unites them as one, it is a direct reflection of who he is. Now, remember again, one of Satan's tactics is to make profane what God has ordained as sacred. He does everything he can to pollute or corrupt that which God has created as good and holy. This is where we find then things like homosexuality. Leviticus 18, starting in verse 22, says this. It says, "You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination." Genesis 19. "And they called to Lot, 'Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them.' Lot went out to the men at the entrance, shut the door after him, and said, 'I beg of you, brothers, do not act so wickedly.'" Romans 1 says this. This is talking in Romans 1 about those who, the word of God says here in Romans 1 that God's being is clearly seen by what has been created, but humanity suppresses and actively holds down restrains what God reveals to humanity. It says then in verse 24, "Therefore God gave them over to sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with men and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their error." 1 Corinthians 6, starting in verse 9, says, "Or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." So the Word of God unequivocally defines humanity in our relationship. We are created male and female. We are created for each other, meaning male is created for female and female is created for male. The Bible clearly teaches that marriage is a relationship ordained by and defined by God. Anything outside of one man and one woman is not a marriage. It may be in the eyes of the government of man, but in the eyes of the King and Creator of all things, it is not a marriage. Now, I got about two more pages to go. I won't put you through that today. The worship team can come up as we begin to close. I can tell you that this is not something that I like to preach about. Not because I'm scared of it, not because I'm worried about what people will think about it. I would much rather live in a culture where we don't have to talk about these things. Unfortunately, that's where we're at. We live in a culture that has devoted a month to this subject. The Word of God clearly defines for us what it means to be human. It clearly teaches us that you and I are created beings. We are not random chance in a random universe. We are created beings. In that, every human being is created with value. Even the ones who are choosing to live in sin, they still have value as humans. And you and I as the church would do well to recognize that. When we speak of these kind of things, because we should, we ought to stand for truth in this world. You ought to teach your kids about these things because they're stepping into this world. But when you do it, teach them that we address these issues honorably with respect. Doesn't mean you can't say hard things to people. because truth sometimes is hard to hear. And when you speak truth, sometimes people are not going to like you no matter how loving you are in presenting it. People are going to hate you for it. You're created with purpose. Every human being has purpose. We were created in the image of God. We were created specifically male and female. Now, there are people who have honest struggles with understanding who they are. There are people that genuinely have struggles in them. And it would be foolish for us to just act like that doesn't exist. That does not mean that somebody is not male or female as they were born biologically. But we would do well to have compassion on people, speaking truth to people, but understanding that in their mind there is an actual struggle that's going on. And marriage is one man and one woman for eternity. Marriage is not a simple union to try to get us through this earth, simply to populate the earth with other human beings. That's not what marriage is. But marriage is a direct reflection of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three distinct persons, one God. In the same way, you and your spouse are two distinct persons, but one flesh. Now, we're going to talk about this again next week. A different angle on this. So I hope you will be a part of that. And all of this, again, finally, as we end, we talk about these things because if we are not reminded of the truth of God's word over and over, in a culture that is constantly bombarding you with a different position, if you're not strong in your faith, you will start to falter and think, you know what, maybe we're not right on this. You study God's word and you spend time looking into these things and you will find out, no, you're not wrong. We're not wrong in our position on this. Maybe sometimes over the years where this position has been presented in a way that's been belligerent, belittling people, that's been wrong. But the position that mankind was created, male and female, and marriage is between one man and one woman, is not wrong. And you and I have to build ourselves up in that because that is something that is constantly pushed on us in our culture. This is the last thing I'll say. You find people today that this is why it's so necessary that we're built up in this now. You find people today that say, why are Christians always hammering on this subject? It's because in our culture now, we are being asked to celebrate and affirm something. You see, we're far past the point where people are just asking you to tolerate that somebody wants to do something in their own home. Not that we would agree with that in itself. But now they're saying, you need to celebrate this. And we speak about it because we're in a different time right now where we're being asked to celebrate. We speak about it because, well, let's say it this way. Sometimes people say, well, what about all the other sinful things that people do? Nobody is asking us to celebrate adultery. Nobody's asking us to celebrate lying or cheating people. Nobody's asking us to celebrate that. We speak about this and do so boldly always, but especially now because our culture is asking us to celebrate something that is blatantly sinful and against God's word. And the day that the culture starts asking us to celebrate adultery, then we'll speak more about that as well. The day that the culture starts asking us to celebrate greed, we'll speak more about that as well. You need to be built up in God's word to withstand the attacks of the enemy. God, we thank you today for your goodness, your love. We thank you for your word that makes so clear to us the defining characteristics built into humanity. We pray that you would help us to stand on those truths and to do so boldly and confidently. But Father, in a culture that is is pushing for us to celebrate those things. Help us to be able to speak truth, but to do so lovingly, with boldness and confidence, but also with love and compassion on a person who is caught up in a lifestyle that is destructive. Help us to walk humbly before you, and that humility then would manifest itself in our interactions with everybody else in this world. Father, we love you and thank you for your goodness. It is your name we pray. Amen.
Would you please stand up?